Now, the reading today, first reading from 1 Samuel, talks about the call of Samuel, and I won't repeat it all, you just heard it, but three times in the middle of the night, Samuel is called. And eventually, he's instructed to simply say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Now, we'll get to that line, but I want to point out something in this reading that may go unnoticed, but I think it's significant. It says here that we're told, first of all, that in those days a revelation from the Lord was rare and so on. Visions were infrequent. However, it says that Eli, now Eli is the high priest in the temple of the Lord. And here's this little boy Samuel, maybe around 7 years of age. And it says here that as the Lord calls him the first time, he goes to Samuel, and it says that, "Here I am, you call me," it simply says here that, just read it exactly, he said that Samuel was yet unfamiliar with the Lord, for the Lord had not revealed himself to him yet. Samuel was unfamiliar with the Lord. What's going on here? I mean, here is a young man living in the temple under the tutelage of the high priest. And Samuel, a young man of 7 years of age or so, is unfamiliar with the Lord. Now, just ask yourself, you know, if there were a child now in our culture of 7 or 8 years of age who was unfamiliar with the Lord, would you regard that as good parenting? Would you regard it that the parents had done their job? Yeah, of course not. This is absurd. This is very, very upsetting to hear that the high priest hasn't even introduced Samuel to the Lord. Now, we're not saying that he should be fully catechized and know all things, but certainly he should be familiar. He should know that God exists. He should have some understanding of the Lord. But he's unfamiliar with the Lord. So, again, I just want to point that out to you. It's a disgrace. And this tells us a little bit about Eli. And I don't have time to go through it all now, but Eli is not Eli's got a lot of issues going on. His two sons are off the reservation. They're a mess. Hophni and Phinehas are living immoral lives in the temple, right there in God's house. They're involved in all kinds of exploitation, illicit sexual union. They're involved in stealing people's money, on and on again. He doesn't even rebuke them. He has no real care at all for what they're doing. See, so Eli is what we might call a bad father. See? And I'm just going to say it. It's what he was. And eventually, you know, he has to be rebuked. You know, because he doesn't scold discipline his sons, who were committing grave, grave sins right in the house of God. And then this little boy Samuel, who's entrusted to his care, is 7 years old and is not familiar with the Lord. So again, we need to just take note of this, and I would ask you to note it, because in our age currently, we're finding that there is a lot of bad parenting as well. Parents who do not teach their children about the Lord, parents who do not discipline their children, parents who do not are not really even all that present to their children, parents who do not even form proper marriages, parents, you know, and on the list goes. And many children today suffer greatly under this kind of poor parenting and bad marriage situation. And it's something to really pray about, and then also to, I think, as I'm trying to do this morning, to be very frank in our denunciation of. We like to say, "Oh, we're supposed to be nice and not say anything about anything, and we're supposed to just sort of, you know, tell everybody everything is fine." And that's kind of the expectation of a lot of people in our culture. And, you know, I think at the end what we have to say is, no, this is not correct. Now, I understand that there are challenging situations that individuals have faced in their lives, and sometimes they're doing the best they can with a bad situation. But frankly, we also have to say what is clear, which is that if we look at this big picture, this is not good, and it should be called what it is, not good. And it's it's a bad situation that we should try to insist on being reversed in the next generation. We should teach our children about God's plan for marriage and family. We should begin to model better parenting, and then we should discipline our children where necessary, and so on. You see the vision. So I want to just point this out because it is significant in our culture as well. Now, regarding this other matter, it says the instruction, finally, it does say that after three times, finally, Eli explains to Samuel that, look, here's the deal. God is calling you. So if it happens again, I want you to just simply say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Now, this is a very good model for prayer. We have a tendency today to think that prayer means talking to God. Well, it does. But prayer also means listening to God. And there is a tendency, again, as I say, for many people to only hear the first part and not do much of the second. So many people will say, well, I'm going to say my prayers as a kind of a euphemism for prayer. Well, that's probably not a good way to describe prayer. I'm going to go say my prayers. We ought to think that really listening should be a very important and substantial part of our praying. We say, well, how am I supposed to listen? I don't hear a voice. And, you know, what are we dealing with here? You know, I mean, so again, how do we listen to God? Well, one way we listen is what you're doing right now. You're putting up with this crazy priest trying to speak to you, but somehow, in the midst of it, God is trying to speak to you in these readings that have been proclaimed this morning and in what is being said right now, that there is this call to listen carefully. So when we're praying privately, one way to listen to God is to take the scriptures and slowly and prayerfully read them. Not like, I know that reading, and then we're done with it. But rather to sit down and to really prayerfully pray the scripture, listen. And so, look, God is about to say something to me, so be still, my soul, and listen, and read carefully and thoughtfully about what is God saying here to me, you know. So that's one way to listen. Another way to listen is to reflect on our lives. You know, we go through our day, and too many people go through their day just kind of in a mindless sort of a way. They say, well, you know, they get up, they go to bed. They get up, they go to bed. They don't really think about, well, what is the meaning of my life? What is my life amounting to? And here comes the central point. What is God saying to me in the events of my day and in the people I've encountered? Has God been saying something to me? Have I encountered God? Have I heard His voice? What is being revealed to me by God in this, just the very events of my life that God wills take place? So this is a kind of a reflective sort of living where we ponder, we think, and we wonder, what is God saying? Now, there is another type of listening that I want to point out to you, which is not as easy to come by, but it is granted to those who are able to receive it. And that's what we call contemplative prayer, where a person in prayer says very little. In fact, they just sit quietly and they encounter and experience the presence of God rather powerfully. It's a gift given to some called contemplative prayer, to simply be in touch with God without words or images, just simply heart to heart, kind of caught up in the beauty and the majesty of God. It's a gift to be sought for. It's a gift to pray for. It's a gift to ask of God. But only God can give it. It's not a technique I can teach you, you know. It's simply granted to those who are faithful in prayer. And just a few thoughts on how we listen to God. Now, there could be others, but of course, I've gone on too long as usual. So I'll limit it to what I've said. Here again, it says here, but when the Lord speaks to you, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Amen.